The Landless Workers Movement, or MST, is the most influential force for agrarian development in the Americas today. Noam Chomsky says it's perhaps the most important popular movement in the world. João Pedro Stedile is one of the movement's founders. As the free trade area of the Americas prepares to meet in Miami, Stedile is speaking out in Canada. He spoke this past Tuesday at the Vancouver Public Library, and Chris Spanos from Red Eye was there. And Chris has joined me in the studio this morning to report back about it. Hi, Chris.
Hello.
Now, maybe you could begin by giving us some background into the MST.
Well, the MST began about 18 years ago, and it's noted for its use of direct action in acquiring land. And some of the astonishing achievements of the MST is that they've actually acquired 15 million acres of land and had the successful transfer of that land to 250,000 Brazilian peasants. And then what they do is they build or develop alternative socioeconomic and educational systems to help maintain the momentum of that movement. So one of the things that apparently what they do is as soon as they acquire land is they build a school at the same time and just start the whole process of social development.
And who is João Pedro Stedile?
As you mentioned, João is a founder of the MST. He's a key theoretician, and he's also a member of the MST's National Coordinating Committee. He was a peasant, an agricultural laborer, and eventually an economist. He first became involved in the land movement in 1979 during the military dictatorship. And while speaking on Tuesday night, He also portrayed himself as a charming personality in that there's the table that he was speaking at, and there was a couple panelists introducing him, and they introduced him one by one, and then when it came time for him to speak, he pushed the mic across the table and then he stood up and just started using his voice to speak to this packed room.
So a really kind of direct approach.
Yes, and using his hands, and was able to really play off the different vibes and tell lots of jokes, and he was really a charming speaker as well.
So a magnetic kind of leader then for the movement.
Yeah.
Now, his talk focused on the challenges facing the MST. How did he go about doing that?
He began by explaining what his motivations were, and those were to exchange ideas and share experiences. And what I thought that meant and what I was expecting was for him to then go into the MST's organizational strategy and tactics and their successes and what that was like on the ground in Brazil. But he did something unexpected for me, and that was he launched into the MST's understanding of the global challenges and the global challenges of capitalism, capitalism's contradictions and its perpetuation of war. And I think it's interesting that he made that shift instead of go the other direction, because I think he knew what he wanted to do, and he wanted to get across the idea. He wanted to go beyond the idea that the MST is simply a land reform movement. I think he wanted to really get across that the MST is linked to a much larger movement and philosophy for social change, and that they actually have a grand vision of a better world. And I think that's where they're headed.
So where are they at right now? If that's their main goal, where are they at right now? What did he say about the challenges in Brazil?
He spoke about the privatization of Brazil's natural resources. One example he gave was Nestle's ownership of over 30% of Brazil's water industry. He spoke about the threat posed to Brazil's biodiversity through privatization and genetically modified organisms, foods, and crops. He also spoke about the international trade bodies, the World Trade Organization, and international trade agreements like the FTAA, Free Trade Area of the Americas.
Now, they're meeting in Miami next month. How did he characterize Brazil's stance on the FTAA?
Well, João explained that the Brazilian government is for what he called, what he described as FTAA light, free trade light. And he explained this as the Brazilian government was interested in the FTAA as long as it only affected their commerce, and that was conditional on the U.S. also opening up its agricultural market. But, of course, many social activists see that as a setup for a trap.
And did he kind of respond to those concerns at all in his talk?
Well, he did. I mean, he made it very clear that the MST was against that. And I think it raises more of the question about the direction that the social movements in Brazil are headed versus the direction of the PT government that's recently been elected.
Because they were initially very closely connected, but now what's the relationship between them?
That's right. Zhao did explain that the relationship has always been autonomous and that the PT has always respected the MST's autonomy. And that's something that still exists today, and that the MST really appreciates that about the PT. What that translates to on the ground is that while they're going about land occupations and trying to acquire land, before the PT was elected, they would...
The PT, now they're the government, right?
Yes, okay. The Workers' Party.
Yeah. Yes.
Before they were elected, the landless workers' movement would occupy land, and they would come in confrontation with land owners, state authorities, and the federal government. Now that the PT's in government, they still come into conflict with the landowners, still come into conflict with the state authorities, but there's margin for support with the federal government. So that's essentially the direction that they're going today, although it still hasn't fully played out.
And all that land that you mentioned at the beginning that has been taken over by the movement, that's been by direct occupation?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Now, did you find anything in his talk that you thought, well, maybe we could apply this to Canada, maybe we could apply this to Vancouver?
Well, that's what I wanted to do when he started talking about sharing experiences and exchanging ideas. I really wanted to extrapolate from their example of what we could do here, but it's very difficult to try and come up with any specific concrete explanations or examples of what to do with that. And instead, what it did is it posed questions of, like, I look at that movement and I'm inspired by that movement and their success, but I don't know how that would translate to a movement up here. I immediately think of Canada's national squatting movement and Vancouver's emerging squat movement, and I don't know what that would look like. Like, it posed the question to me, what would that look like to develop those movements on that grand scale? Is it possible here? You know, how do we connect those issues with the broader redistribution of wealth and property? And how is Indigenous land rights tied into that? And how do we tie all that together to develop a national and local and international strategies? Those are the questions that it poses, and I'll be thinking about them for a while.
Well, thanks very much for coming in this morning and talking about his speech.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Chris Spanos. Chris is a member of the Red Eye Collective.